Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Carolyn Pursuti.
And I'm Steve Ember. This week on our show, we tell you about a program that gives prisoners and retired racehorses a second chance at life. Then we learn about an organization called Second Chance. It gives men with troubled pasts a way to learn new job skills by taking buildings apart to reuse the materials. And later, we visit a school where dogs are helping children learn to read.
Many prisons have programs to help prisoners develop job skills. But a program at the James River Work Center, a prison in the state of Virginia, is a little unusual. It teaches inmates to care for retired racehorses. The horses are retrained for new lives, while the inmates learn job skills for their life after release.
The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is a private group that works with the prison. The group tries to save former racehorses from the possibility of being mistreated or being sent to a slaughterhouse after they are retired. Prisoners like this man enjoy working with the animals.
When they asked me if I was interested in this program, I jumped on the chance because, like I said, as you can see, how could you not love these creatures?
During the six-month program, the men learn all about horses, their behavior, their health, and how to care for them.
This is my horse, Cobra Action.
Let's go.
Which is the grandson of Secretary. He's a good horse. If you remember Secretary, that's the one that won the race in the Belmont.
I think he had a typical racetrack life. He showed signs of steroid injections. Side effects of that is biting, nipping. You can feel scar tissue from the injections.
Good boy. Good.
The horses are fed twice a day. The prisoners also groom the animals and check for injuries or health problems. Some of the horses are ridden to prepare them for adoption. People adopt them for riding or as companion horses for other horses. Horses don't like to be alone. The training program for the inmates includes classroom work, but instructor Reed McClellan says the hands-on experience is the important thing. He says the prisoners learn from the horses that they have to be nice to the animals and not act aggressively.
It's that spending every day in the stall with those horses, and horses don't put up with a lot of the kind of bravado, false bravado. They recognize false bravado right away, and they'll teach them a lesson about that's not the way to be in harmony with this big 1,000-pound animal in that stall.
Will is a graduate of the program and is now a teaching assistant. His prison term ends in September, and he already has a job waiting for him. His horse, Happy, is also starting a new life. Happy used to be difficult to handle, but has now been adopted.
Happy was the first horse I had been around. She suffered an injury in the field. She was, needless to say, a cantankerous thing. I guess something changed in her. You know, she's very likable now, loves attention.
Happy was not the only one who changed. Ann Tucker of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation says Will also had some behavior issues at first.
Will came into the program a very insecure young man from a troubled background. He had no idea what he wanted to do. Will is now a confident young man, and we have a wonderful job for him and a place to live.
Inmates who complete the training program rarely return to prison. Like the horse he cared for, Will says the program has given him a second chance in life.
I don't ever want to go back to the person that I was. I will come back here.
A different kind of program in Baltimore, Maryland, also gives people with troubled pasts a second chance in life. A crew is removing all of the usable material from an old house that is going to be torn down. Jim Russell is the project manager for Second Chance, a nonprofit company in Baltimore that does this special kind of work.
Right now what we're doing is extracting the flooring, removing the interior doors and frames, and the kitchen cabinets.
Second Chance hires men from the community and trains them in the art of deconstruction.
We bring people in, teach them a skill to enable them to learn a little bit about construction, the way a house is built, and if you know how it's built, you can know how to take it down properly, safely.
Clarence White is one of the workers. He is learning how to safely and skillfully remove the lumber and stone and take apart the kitchen and bathrooms. He says working at Second Chance has been a life-changing experience.
Beforehand, I was, you know, sold drugs, you know, doing all the wrong things. I went to prison. I came home and was looking for a job, and a lot of jobs wouldn't hire me. Second Chance provided that opportunity, you know. And they believed in me, and I went from not, you know, not feeling confident, feeling like I can't get a job, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, feeling limited, to feeling limitless.
In addition to job training, the company also provides training in life skills.
I have a bank account. I moved into my own place. Also, I'm able to provide for my daughter and, you know, give her a better life.
Clarence White looks forward to building on the foundation of his new life.
I can see myself being a happy old man one day. Before, I couldn't see it. You know, so now I see that. It's a good thing. It's a great thing.
The workers have a good relationship among themselves. Joshua Watson has been working at Second Chance for 9 months.
I love working with all these guys. They're like brothers, you know what I mean? And I'm going to get married in a couple months. So, you know, all these guys are going to be in my groomsmen. All of them. All of them are going to be in my groomsmen.
The men are guaranteed a job with the company once they have completed their 16-week training program. Project manager Jim Russell says many of them move on to other opportunities.
We've got guys who have become apprentice electricians. Some of them have gone on to become truck drivers. Some of them have come to me and asked me for guidance on maybe starting their own home improvement business. And if I can help that in any way, I try to.
On a recent day, the workers were removing materials from a two-story log cabin built in the 1980s. The wood flooring and doors, the kitchen appliances, and other items will be taken to the Second Chance warehouse in Baltimore. There, people can buy household items at a big savings on cost. The money from those sales helps pay for the job training program.
Our guys, I think, recognize that this may be their best chance at a new life.
Mark Foster is founder and president of Second Chance. The organization has trained more than 60 men since it began in 2003.
The training program here is just not about how to pull nails. It's about how to be a productive member of society, how to get some skill sets that you wouldn't have had before. Materials are certainly important to us as a society, but the people are really the thing that should drive us the most, giving those people opportunities that they otherwise wouldn't have.
can children improve their reading skills by reading to dogs? Researchers at the University of California, Davis, reported in 2010 that the answer is yes. Just ask Tavion Scott. He began learning to read last year at Stanton Elementary School in Washington. He struggles with new words, but says it helps when a dog is sitting next to him.
Because they calm.
Izzy has been coming to the school for a year with Denise Velasquez, a volunteer with PAL. PAL is People Animals Love, a private group in Washington that brings dogs into schools and libraries.
I think you feel a little bit less self-conscious about struggling when you're reading to a dog instead of feeling like you're reading to your classmates or your teacher.
She helped Tavion with his reading.
I pulled Izzy in a little bit, too, so he could feel a little bit closer to her. And then we started just to take it one word at a time, because a whole book can feel overwhelming, but a single word is something you can tackle.
Eric Rethel from the PAL program says he can identify with the children because he had problems with reading when he was young.
They feel confident reading to a dog. A dog's not judgmental. A dog isn't going to tell them, no, that's the wrong word.
These children live in the Anacostia neighborhood of Washington, D.C.
This district has the highest poverty in D.C., and this particular neighborhood, the highest crime rate in D.C. 70% of our students are raised by a single parent, usually a mother.
Reading to dogs has helped Ayanna Hill develop her reading skills.
I love to read to dogs. They're nice and quiet.
At first, Ann Ingram's big dog, Daisy, made some of the children feel uneasy. Daisy is a Great Dane, one of the biggest breeds of all. But the children learned that Daisy was gentle, and she became one of their favorites.
The kids are very enthusiastic, and I think it encourages them to try.
Melvin Hansberry says the dogs help him learn big words.
It's like you read it to your little sister or your brother.
Melvin's mother, Sharon Hansberry, has an eye disease that makes it difficult for her to read.
Sometimes I can't see the letters or the words, and my son will come over there and help me read.
Damaris Hamilton, a teacher's aide, grew up in Anacostia and says the environment in many homes can make it hard for children to learn.
Some kids not getting the love and attention at home. So when they come here, they're getting a lot of love and attention, affection. That all plays a big part.
You said the baby bird. You are not a kitty. You are not a kitty.
Our program was produced by Mario Ritter, with reporting by Sahar Sarshar, Julie Tabo, and Deborah Block. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Carolyn Prasuti. You can find video versions of all three of today's stories at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find transcripts and MP3s of our programs, along with podcasts and activities for learning English. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.